Welcome to it.
All right, welcome to episode 23 of the first
season
episode.
Season 2, episode 13. Glad to be here.
Our first year is coming to an end. This will be our last episode of the year, last of this semester as well, last of the first season. Sam will be kicking it off with a surprise guest host next fall, or whenever he else, I guess, if he decides to start it whenever he wants. Maybe he'll do it in the summer, maybe he'll do it on
solo. I think I'll just go solo.
Lots of different options. Maybe I'll make an occasional guest appearance from afar. But thank you guys for listening so far. If you've been with us since the beginning or however long you've been with us, please continue to follow the Sagebrush Shit Show as season two moves forward. I guess the big sports talk is that the Jazz, he's over here rolling his eyes.
If I hear one more thing about the
Jazz. One more win out of three, and we take to the next round of the playoffs. And
hashtag,
a surprise upset.
Hashtag Thunder and Seven.
And a surprise and upset. Game two,
Jazz. Seed a four against seed five is not a huge upset.
Listen.
Let's relax for a
second. You've got a star team.
Let's relax.
Russell
a
Westbrook,
star team. They were
Melo
underwhelming
Anthony.
This season. The Thunder were completely underwhelming this season.
I'm just saying, you build these star-studded
It's
teams,
not like it matters anyways.
Like the Warriors.
Bro. The Rockets are sweeping the Jazz next week. So
you're
it's like
probably right. Here's what we're hoping for. One win against the Rockets.
I mean, it's the same situation as last year, right?
One
Jazz,
win.
The Jazz beat the Clippers in seven games, and then they just get their asses swept by the Warriors last year.
All right, here's
similar
the thing.
Circumstances.
Take note.
Take
I'm
note.
Calling that the Jazz are going to be able to pull off
two games.
Two wins.
Oh, come on.
Game three and four, they're going to win against the Rockets.
Absolutely not.
Yep. Anyways, the Jazz are going farther than most people expected them to this year. The Rockets will probably sweep them. They've beat them all four times they've matched up this season. However, there's a chance of maybe a little bit better matchup. We do have all of our players on the court, barring nothing happens in the next three games of the current series. It's been exciting. Utah fans are getting all over it. Mitt Romney was notably there last night. He's got a GIF that's going around the internet.
Taunting Russell Westbrook with the four fouls. Hashtag not my senator.
Some people have called him out because he definitely has lots of pictures.
Hashtag
he
lost the convention. Whatever.
Which does lead us to our next point. Mitt Romney lost against Mike. Is his name
Mike Kennedy?
Kennedy.
Yep.
Here in Utah at the Republican convention, as Sam and I were talking about right before this show, this isn't necessarily surprising. So if you guys don't know how it works, simply put, they go to the caucuses. The caucus puts out their delegates. The delegates come together for their convention. They vote. And if you get 60%, there is no primary. If you get under 60%, they go to a primary. Romney was hoping to push the 60%, but wasn't necessarily expecting it.
Yeah.
That's why he's been
Came
collecting
up at 49%.
And he's been collecting signatures, which would bypass the primary process altogether. He'll probably win the primary, to be fair.
Absolutely, he will.
The way these usually work is you get the farther right or the farther left vote is who wins out in the caucus convention system.
Yeah.
So if you can get enough of those people united, you can kick out the obvious or the incumbent, the moderate candidate, if you will. The same thing almost happened 2 years ago against Governor Herbert with Jonathan Johnson pulling like 56%.
Yeah.
If he would have got 4% more, we would have got rid of Herbert and probably got Jonathan Johnson as a governor, went to the primary, Herbert won in a landslide, as per
I think it's important for people, usual. While it is really funny that Mitt Romney lost the convention, I think it's funny. It's important for people to understand that Mike Kennedy is a jackass. So, for basically anyone, there's no reason to celebrate this happening. Like, no matter, like, the Republican is going to win either way, so it's not like he's more beatable. When we went down to the – there's some GRC insider info for all of you guys. We went down to the state capitol last spring. So not this session, the session before. We went and talked to Mike Kennedy, who's a member of the – I want to say he's a state senator, isn't he?
I don't even know, man.
I don't know. Anyway, so we went to go talk to him about – the mental health resolution that was being pushed by all the higher
state legislator, doctor, lawyer,
all the
both a law degree and a med degree,
all the higher education institutions in Utah basically declaring, you know, a mental health crisis across college campuses. And when we approached Mike Kennedy about this initiative, he was completely opposed to it, and he basically said that pornography and marijuana are far greater concerns over, you know, mental health issues. So if you're somewhat excited about Mike Kennedy as the Republican nominee, you should not be.
I'll say this. So Mike Kennedy, like I said, he's a lawyer and a doctor. In most other years, he might have been the shoo-in win, to be honest. He is pretty far right, but all the same, this guy's probably been planning politics on his resume for a while. He literally completed his residency and went straight into law school. The guy's probably been building his resume for a while. I don't know if there's any relation to the political dynasty Kennedys. Probably not, considering the party affiliation. But
well, there's a Kennedy in Louisiana as well.
Yeah, but I mean, is he a Kennedy?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I doubt it. Anyways, the guy's pretty far right. If you are on the left side of the spectrum or moderate, you usually don't want the caucus win to happen. Which is the case here. I'll say this, speaking from the right, moderate right, whatever you want to call it, I think Mike Kennedy wouldn't have been the worst we've ever had. I definitely think Romney will pull it off. I think there is something to be said. If he does win, we do lose a lot of power in Congress. There's definitely a reason that Romney is maybe the obvious pick this time around. As we've discussed previously on the show,
we have a leadership position.
Right. We're losing the most senior member of the Senate, gaining the most junior member of the Senate, which this happens a lot of times. I mean, any time the President pro tempore is leaving office, obviously. But we have potential to lose all of our power in the Senate. However, obviously, Mitt Romney has national pull, national recognition. If for nothing else, he'll get a leadership position just out of name. Not to say that he'll take over the finance committee or anything, you know, that drastic, but he will hold weight. Potentially, he's spoken out against Trump, maybe not so much recently, but he's definitely one of those contenders that could start a faction within the Republican yeah. Party once he gets in the Senate and start shifting a lot of votes, yeah. even as a junior senator. And it's likely that he will in the next few years, assuming that he wins. Anyways, there's your little bit of a Romney update. On the Trump side of things, Trump welcomed French President, what's his name?
Macron,
yes, and his
Emmanuel
wife,
Brigitte. Macron.
I wanted to say Francois, but that's the last guy. Pretty traditional, almost all the last three or four or five presidents have welcomed a French state at yeah. some point. It's kind of a standard benchmark of every U.S. presidency. You know, doing the normal thing, plant a tree, they're going to Mount Vernon. That's a little right. bit out of character. There's only been a few of those. But all in all, pretty normal. He did make an announcement today. I guess he updated the Syria situation we talked about a couple weeks right. ago. People have wondered if he would maybe backpedal on pulling out.
He certainly did.
He has definitely softened his approach. I wouldn't say that he's flip-flopped, but
he wants to leave a lasting impression on Syria, as if the United
States
hasn't.
Here's my
already.
Prediction. You pull complete boots off the ground, we'll continue air support for a while, like everyone else is doing, the English, the French, everyone's got air support in there. Just keep bombing the crap out of them.
Well, that is what he said in his campaign. We were going to bomb the hell out of the Muslims, so...
He did not say the Muslims. He said
he
out
meant
of
the Muslims,
ISIS.
Whatever.
You cannot.
I can. I can make
watch yourself.
I can make that stretch.
You cannot say
I can.
That. Anyways.
I have free speech, Grant. I say whatever the hell I want on the show.
When asked about a specific timeline, he wouldn't give one, which while some people might be bugged by, it at least is somewhat respectable because he was very anti-Obama when Obama gave a specific timeline on when we were leaving. That was something he criticized Obama greatly on. So by not giving a timeline, there's like a 1 second stuck to his own platform for a second. Not always true with Trump. But what else is going on, Samuel? You've got some updates, I know.
Yeah. A couple. We've got, you know, the USA year is wrapping up. We're having our final training tonight. The new GRC has been selected. Congratulatory emails were just sent out, so I'm looking forward to working with my new GRC this year. So that'll be good. And these past couple weeks, I think it was last Tuesday, I went out to the Logan City Council meeting where they discussed some of the measures that they're taking to address, well, in their mind, it's for neighborhood improvement. It's called the Neighborhood Improvement Plan. But
TLDR, gentrification.
Sure. Well, at the heart of it, it's really addressing over-occupancy, in my opinion. And so they basically, you know, they, as part of their plan, they're having this over-occupancy scout. I think that's the term that they used. Like
this is such bullshit. I'm so anti. Oh, I just want to meet this student.
A student intern that's going to go around Logan and basically check to see if there are too many cars parked at a house. It's so incredibly
illegal. This is freaking Gestapo
it's
style.
It's illegal. It's so, I think it's incredibly arbitrary. And I think it's ridiculous, but it passed. Here's my question for you.
Some of these houses are grandfathered.
Yeah.
Correct? So does this individual have a map of grandfathered homes? Are people who are legally grandfathered going to be
harassed?
So there
are different, obviously there are different zones, right? So there are,
right.
Like immediately, so like where I live, immediately around the university, I think the max is like 6 people per house because I only live like a block and a half.
Right. Your house could easily be torn down and put in an apartment complex.
Very easily.
That is like the goal of Logan City.
Absolutely. And so, but the rest of Logan is 3 unrelated people per house. And so they're, like I said, the biggest concern that I heard from city council members, they're very concerned about cars and parking because they obviously hear about it a lot.
After they approve the factory and cause their own problems.
What I don't understand is like it's not if you're trying to get rid of all of these cars parked in the same area, by you kicking people out of these houses, the cars don't just disappear. Like students are going somewhere else nearby. And I don't know. I personally think it's misguided. It's something that I'll be working, very closely with this upcoming year. I've already been in contact with a couple city council members. I'm going to try to meet before the end of the year and get a better, more personal opinion on the situation. I really don't think they're out to get students. I think
money is all they care about.
I think, but at the end of the day, they're going to pay attention to, who puts them in office.
We don't. Exactly. Zero city council members are below the age of 30.
Right. So we had something like 90 students vote in the last election for Logan City. And so there's absolutely no incentive.
Like I told you, I was the only student at my caucus meeting.
Right.
There's maybe 5 more in my block.
If you want to see things change, get involved.
May 1st, get involved. City council meeting is an important one.
This one is addressing the fine.
This is specifically on the fine.
So the occupancy scout was already agreed upon.
I heard that.
Yeah. And so now this will be addressing the fine that increases the penalty for over-occupancy from $50 to $250. My biggest problem with this whole improvement plan was the scout that they're sending around. I think it's so arbitrary. I think it's just going to cause more problems. I don't understand what the problem was with the complaint-based system.
I don't know how I can get that job.
Because if people...
How much are they going to search my social media? Do I need to go private?
You probably need to go private, Grant. Absolutely. Well, you just need to go private in general. There's too many hot takes in there. Anyways, so if it's something you're upset about, set up meetings with your city council members. From what I've gathered, they're pretty willing to meet with students. Do your best, I guess.
Anyways, something to pay attention to, of course. Local government has a lot of direct control over your life. This affected my housing position this year. My rent is going up 60% next year, which if you figure out the math is actually my landlord breaking the law, going from three people to four people and charging four people each the same amount as the three people that are currently living in it. So he's basically acknowledging that he knows that the fourth person is going to continue to live there, so he might as well get paid for it.
Yeah.
We'll see how that works out for him after this goes into effect. People have toured our house. No one wants to pay that much.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think what it comes down to is, like you said, this is arbitrary. In some houses, this will work really well. It depends on parking situation.
Yeah.
In my house, there's no way. It's absolutely impossible to prove it, which maybe he's figured out. Our parking lot is shared with a large apartment complex that has more spots than every single bed already.
Mm.
So there's already basically guest parking.
Yeah.
So there's no way you could track it.
Yeah, I think it's a problem in our house, I know, because there are five people that live upstairs, and then there are three people that live in the basement, right?
Yeah, but so, is it grandfather? Yours is grandfathered, probably.
I don't.
If it's duplexed,
is it split? It's split.
Then you're automatically grandfathered.
Yeah,
to some degree.
So we're fine, but I just, it's just so. I don't see what these new restrictions. I don't see how that's helping any type of situation. It's putting a Band-Aid on a larger problem, and it's not
right.
We need long-term solutions, not short-term, pandering to your
and decisions. Saying that you're doing this to improve the grass and all right. this crap. Like, dude, if you don't want people's cars parked on the grass, then like send people out and start taking every car parked on the grass with a freaking fat fine. Yeah. Don't make it about you can say that it's because of those occupancies, but you're going back to what you think is the solution, which is actually harmful. I mean, you look at obviously they're counting on Millennial Towers and some of these other projects to pick up more students. They're trying to push people out of these neighborhoods. I don't care what anyone says. They're trying to get families that are paying more taxes into the city of Logan. They're trying to gentrify that block, the blocks between 400 and 1400 and between Main Street and the university. That's the main goal of this. Also, the other side of 4th, where I live as well, they want families back in Logan. And, that's a noble cause, I think. Every community wants to be considered a family-based community, right? Like, that's just basic rhetoric across the United States. However, this is a college town, whether they want to accept it or not, And their own policies for years have screwed them on getting families to move in. The way they've set up Logan School District Logan School District has the acronym of LSD. So nice. Logan Public Schools, LSD. LPS, is separate from Cache County School District, CCSD, which they did to themselves. That wasn't originally, originally Cache Valley wanted to be part. They were the ones that eliminated
at
it.
At USU, they're in a bit of a unique situation. I know a lot of big universities restrict freshmen and sophomores from even having cars on campus. That's what I'm saying. So because Logan's kind of in the middle of nowhere, that's not really a possibility. It's a difficult situation. It's very complex.
And a lot of those places are the same places that require freshmen to live on campus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can't limit. Not in a red state, you can't limit an individual from owning.
Always got to make it political, Grant.
Yep.
Jeez.
I mean, let's be real. You couldn't limit
liberty,
an individual.
You're really gonna pull the liberty card in this situation? That's fine. I can live with it. I'm used to it by now.
Point is, in Utah, you're not gonna limit on what people can own, if they can own a vehicle or not. All you can do is limit how many parking spots there are. You got to attack the business. That's what's bothering me about these fines, is the fact that they're even talking about penalizing the tenant at all. To me, the tenant could be an out-of-state individual, a freshman, someone who has no idea about this, who just moves in. Unless you're going to go out and put a flyer on every single door or give out information during USU, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. They need to be putting this on USU housing websites and putting it part of
And that's a big thing that I'm working on. Is this fall we're going to be, depending on the outcome of these upcoming city council meetings, putting out a lot of information, because I think the best way that students can combat things like this is just becoming informed. Because if you went out on the quad right now and you asked somebody what zoning laws were, they probably wouldn't be able to tell you.
Even if they knew, would they know that the block you live on has more than three people allowed?
No, they wouldn't.
You know, if I'm renting a house, how do I know? What if I go to your place, I report my landlord to the city, they come check it, and then they actually, I mean, I know that's hypothetical, but it's like there's no clear lines. Yeah. There might be clear lines, but no students know that.
I don't know what they are.
You know what I mean? They don't have signs up that say this is zone three, only allowed three unrelated individuals. Even just that wording, three unrelated individuals, you're attacking students. It's predatory language against students. You can't ban students from an area.
Infringing upon their liberties.
You totally, man. This is the reality. From a libertarian perspective, local governments are actually some of the biggest restrictors of individual 100%. Rights, even in the most 100%. Conservative states.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because when we went to the Logan City Council meeting, I thought it was very interesting hearing from Jess Bradfield. Someone
that is interesting.
Someone very, pretty obviously very conservative, right?
Yep.
And he, you know, he was asked his thoughts.
How long did he graduate? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Pretty young. I might have been wrong on my 30 number.
He's a pretty young dude. Anyways, he said, you know what? I'm generally against, you know, big government. I don't like when the state or, you know, when the federal government spends my money and, like, the government infiltrates on my life. I don't like when the state government does it. But in local government, we're a bureaucracy, and I'm okay with that. And I just thought that was the most hypocritical thing I've ever heard. If you're going to claim to be a protector of liberty and individual choice, and you're giving out free money, you're giving out $1 million in a grant to families in Logan to use money to, like, improve their house.
Right.
All you have to do is just apply, and they'll give you free money to, you know, get new sod or, you know, fix your gutters or whatever.
Right. I mean, it's classic gentrification. This is switched across party lines. This was the Democrats clear back in the day. I'm just being serious. Like, in the, you look at it's whoever's predatory against minorities, against immigration, whatever. You see the same thing in the LA neighborhoods that wouldn't allow, the neighborhood PACs would literally say that African Americans were not allowed to rent in certain areas. They would redline districts. They screwed people out of federal money by redlining districts, and you know what I mean. Like, there's this kind of predatory language is used now. Right now, it might be students. But it's kind of the same thing. This same language, I say it's predatory to students. It's also predatory to immigrants or anybody else. This was a bigger thing where I'm from in St. George, closer to the Mexican border. They were huge on this because what they don't want is they don't want multiple immigrant families, or not even immigrant. I shouldn't even say that. But multiple minority families often share a home. So that's how they combat it, right? They make it arbitrary language that they can apply broadly. The quickest way to restrict a freedom is right there. Arbitrary broad language that you can apply at your own will and conscience. And so that's what I'm worried about with this. It bothers me, like you said. Traditionally, as far as liberties go, the feds pick and choose who they want to have them at any given time, depending on what their voting blocks are, but they're a little bit more restrictive. Red states control the most conservative branch of things, and then the local goes back to very restrictive. You know, it's the same exact state legislators who are banning cities on banning bags who want their own neighborhoods to be up to par in their grass cut and make sure that people don't leave their car on the front lawns and want to ban all that crap, right? Like, these same people that ban cities from doing things that are against the Republican Party are the same ones who are on a local level supporting these measures like this that restrict how you can use your tenant property. And this is a big deal. I mean, if you bought a rentable house in the last 5 or 10 years, you might have been expecting to get a certain amount of revenue from it. And then this zoning completely screws you, which you can say, well, you're SOL, but that individual might have bought that house for more than it was worth or that they can currently rent it for, you know? And so you're really just screwing with the whole thing. What else bothers me, and I've mentioned you this before, you go down, I think it's even your street. What are you on, 800 or
900?
So if you go down 800, and 900 is about the same, there are tons of places with no sidewalks, tons of places where the gutters are falling apart, the roads are trash. Yeah. And so, you know what? Like, don't tell me you're beautifying the neighborhoods. You're beautifying the certain neighborhoods you want to.
Yeah.
You want to do this. How about you actually spend some of that money you're giving to people? You actually put down infrastructural improvements and make those areas nice. You know, like, I do understand the benefit of a nice city, and I'm obviously biased coming from a student perspective, but I just genuinely feel like you're taking away property rights of a property owner on how they can use things. Now, I'm not saying that you should be able to have 15 people in a house. I do think a reasonable limit is applicable.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But three? No. Yeah. An average family home can usually have 4 or 5 people in it. That's a reasonable number.
Yeah.
Every apartment at the university is 4 to 6.
Well, I think it's important, you know, to note that, because most students do not want to live in high density housing and luxury apartments. Like, no one wants to live at the factory. No one wants to live in Millennial Towers. People want to live in small homes with their friends.
Right.
Where they have, you know, the freedom to come and go as they want, and have to worry about room keys or rules.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff. And that's where the demand is. And
exactly.
So offering high density housing permits as like a consolation
is bullshit. Not,
yeah.
I no one wants to live in that.
Right. So it's a complex situation. We'll be working on it. Come to my office. Give me your thoughts.
All right. We're fast forwarding to marijuana. So there's 3 big things I want to talk about this week. On the Utah level, medical marijuana is for sure going to be on the November ballot. It hasn't been completely certified because that doesn't happen until May. They are like 30 or 40,000 signatures above what they have to. They've got 27 out of 29 Senate districts, which is one of their other requirements. From everybody's measurement, they will be on the ballot. I'm going to give you my plug one more time. Please vote for medical marijuana in the state of Utah.
Grant this loves himself some ballot initiatives.
This is still
loves himself
like one of the most conservative medical marijuana laws on the books if it goes through. It will literally be like the weakest medical marijuana law of all states that
but
have Grant, ever passed
it's all downhill from there.
No, it's not. West Wendover, the closest city, at least to northern Utah, right across the border from Wendover, Utah. You have West Wendover, Utah, and Nevada. They've approved medical marijuana. Nevada as a state has approved recreational marijuana. So the city council brought it to a vote. They voted against it. And then in a turn of events, their mayor vetoed the city council's vote. Hmm. This isn't even possible in all municipalities, but it is in West Wendover. What it basically means is that their decision isn't final. It doesn't even mean that they're really going to decide for all intents and purposes. There's still no recreational marijuana, but it's not necessarily permanently banned. They just kind of tabled it for a while. But that will affect Utah eventually. That was actually a big part of the conversation, which is why I'm bringing it up. People on their city council were like, well, we don't want to screw over Wendover, our neighbor here. We don't want to screw over Utah. And the mayor, who is openly pro marijuana and has been, he's a pretty young guy in his 30s, said BS, you know. I'm looking to follow the laws of the state of Nevada. The state of Nevada voted, and they voted for legalizing recreational marijuana. If you don't want to smoke it, don't smoke it. We think it should be available. If Utah Highway Patrol wants to do their thing across the border, we are not advocating for it to be taken over the border, just like we don't advocate for our alcohol and everything else. He basically said that's Utah's problem. We should be following what Nevadans want. There's some weak arguments. You could tell there were some red line Republicans who were like, some people regret voting for it. And it's like, well, you're shit out of luck. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then on the national scale, on 420, appropriately, Chuck Schumer came out and says he's got a plan to push legalization by not reclassification. What's it called? Rescheduling marijuana. The reality is, this is just going back. It's not Chuck Schumer. Who's the other guy we were talking about?
Who?
Young black guy is probably going to take Cory the Booker. 2020. This is legislation that I expected Cory Booker to introduce. It's been obvious that the Dems were going to push it. Marijuana legalization is right on track for the place I want it to go, and Democrats do too.
Yeah.
And Cory Booker didn't get there. I'm sure he'll support this initiative. Chuck Schumer's doing it. Some people wonder if this is his obvious push for a Republican, or not a Republican, for a presidential bid in 2020. That's what people expected Cory Booker to use it as maybe a
hashtag
stepping stone
Biden 2020.
To pick up a good amount of
I don't think Booker will
presidential
win.
Votes. You don't think they'll run?
I don't think Booker will win, no.
I don't know. Booker's a pretty young guy. He'll probably, if he ever plans to run for president, he could push it eight.
I think the big fight in 2020 will be Bernie Sanders.
You think he's back?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. He'd be stupid not to run.
He'd be the oldest president, already beating our current oldest president.
Doesn't matter because
I will do everything.
He's one of the most popular politicians in the country.
He didn't win it last time. I don't see the Dems putting him up.
Grant, I agree with you. He's still going to run. I think it'll be between Bernie Sanders, Biden. You might have someone between like Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, and you maybe someone like Martin O'Malley run as well. You'll have there's John Delaney and like kind of like these wild cards will run, but I think the big fight will be between Biden and Bernie Sanders. I think
Democrats, if you want to win against Trump, Harris, only one that's got a possibility. That's my prediction.
I disagree with that.
Biden, I think, is a strong candidate. I would definitely give him my second vote.
You think Kamala Harris has a better chance to win than Joe Biden? Absolutely yes. not. Absolutely
she has the
not.
Female vote. I think she has the youth vote. I think she can steal a lot of Bernie's votes that Biden cannot. Biden is going to pick up.
Are you talking about in the primary or in the general election?
I think Harris has a better chance against Trump.
Okay, because the election wasn't decided, you know, in the suburbs of California.
I'm just telling you. I'm saying Bernie Sanders is going to do a Hillary Clinton.
Biden is pro Second Amendment, pretty outspoken about that. He can connect to.
I go out on my porch and fire a shotgun into the air. If I want to scare people off, okay, that's against the law, Joe Biden. You can't do that in most places, you dumbass.
As far as Democrats go, he's as pro Second Amendment as it gets.
Hillary Clinton was too until the last minute when it wasn't profitable for her to be.
Oh my God! Don't get me started. He can connect to the working class in the Midwest. Like Kamala Harris certainly cannot.
I'd rather see Joe Biden than Kamala Harris. Let me be clear. I think Kamala Harris
would be an excellent president, and I hope she runs. And I would vote for her. I don't think she has a better chance if Bernie wins,
he will do exactly what Hillary did. Hillary lost in 8 and then came back and won everyone's hearts because the same thing happened. You had all these Hillary lovers in 2008.
All these damn liberals.
No. I'm just saying Hillary lovers. Within the Democratic Party, you had these Hillary lovers who lost out to Obama and then shifted their hearts to Obama so that he could pull it off, right, over Romney.
Yeah.
And then they all stepped out of the woodworks again in 2016 and showed up. And you're going to see the same thing. All these people who were diehard Bernie fans are going to come out. The Bernie or bust people, right? Like, those people are going to show up. But they will lose in the national election if they take it. Trump, hands down, will destroy Bernie in the national election. His populist policies are too similar to Trump.
We're a long ways out. I think that could benefit him. I think it would.
No.
You're not going to pull Trumpers over.
I'm not saying you're going to pull Trumpers over. The way to win as a Democrat is to win over sensible, moderate Republicans, not Trump voters. You need to pull the average.
I'm glad you're agreeing that Trump voters are not sensible Republicans.
I didn't vote for him.
Hot take right there.
Listen, I still stand by my decision not to vote for Hillary Clinton. I did not vote for Donald Trump. All I'm saying is.
Are you Gary or Evan?
Evan McMuffin.
You a McMuffin boy?
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. Use mean language.
Anyways,
get out 29%.
As we're wrapping up our final show of the year today, we'd like to thank everyone for sticking with us through all 23 episodes. It's been a wild ride. A lot of hot takes. A lot of controversy. Grant, do you have any parting thoughts on your experiences here on the Sagebrush Shit Show?
You know, I'd say that Sam and I's biggest purpose here is similar to the Government Relations Council, regardless of how you sit. Oh,
a very comparable body, if you will.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more fun. But all I'm saying is, similar to the GRC, regardless of where you sit on party politics, what we're asking you to do is get involved and care. On a local level, you can make a huge difference. On a state level, you can make a huge difference. On a federal level, probably not. Let's be real. But all I'm saying is get out, speak about what you want to know. Nothing is more irritating than when I ask someone's opinion on something and they absolutely have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some specific West Wendover marijuana policy. I just ask them about marijuana and they don't know anything. Or I ask them about, you know, anything. All I'm asking is get out there, get involved. Most of you, I'm freaking preaching to the choir. I know a lot of you are poli-sci students or communications or JCOM or whatever. We all know who our listeners are already. We love you all. But make it a point to educate those around you, not necessarily just biasly. Give people a fair chance to make their own decisions. If you come in biased, they've already shut their ears off.
Yeah.
Present people, educate people, get other people politically involved, even if they aren't 100% in your agreement. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for an excellent
Please continue
year.
Listening
Thank
to Sam.
Thank you for putting up with Grant, and now next year you'll be blessed with my voice and
Such
hopefully...
Such a smart ass.
Love you, Granty. Love you, Granty. And again, if you're interested in co-hosting the show with me next year, reach out to me personally, reach out to us on Twitter, whatever floats your boat. We're definitely looking forward to carrying it on starting next fall. And maybe we'll have Grant special appearance when he comes back from the UAE next spring. He'll take it over from me again. We'll see how it goes.
Sam can keep it up.
Yeah, we'll see if I can keep it up. But again, thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you all enjoyed it.
Find us on the Sagebrush Show on Twitter. Mine parting Twitter handle is at ZGrantBess.
I'm at Sam and Jack.
'Cause your mom doesn't have Snapchat yet. But when she does, watch out.
I accidentally bought a crop top and I'm wearing it.
Do gelatoism.
You chose to do it. You have to say you're consenting for the video.
I'm consenting.
The hell?
It's fine because I'll never see him again.
Ivanka. That's why it's so hard to say her name, because when she chokes, that was an accurate representation of her.
By Utah State University. See you never.